Acts 20. When the disturbance was over, Paul sent for the disciples and, after speaking words of encouragement to them, said farewell and set out for Macedonia. On his way through those areas, he said many words of encouragement to them and then made his way into Greece, where he spent 3 months. He was intending to set sail for Syria when a plot organized against him by the Jews made him decide to go back by way of Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus, who came from Beroea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, and Timothy, as well as Tychicus and Tropimus, who were from Asia. They all went on ahead to Troas, where they waited for us. We ourselves left Philippi by ship after the days of unleavened bread, and joined them 5 days later at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. On the first day of the week, we met to break bread. Paul was having a discussion with them, intending to leave the next day, and he continued speaking until midnight. A number of lamps were lit in the upstairs room where we were assembled. A young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in the window, was overcome by deep sleep as Paul spoke still longer, fell from the third story, and was picked up dead. Paul went down, bent over him, and took him in his arms, saying, "Do not make a fuss, for his life is in him." Then he went back upstairs, broke bread, and ate, and carried on talking for some time until dawn. Then he left. They took the boy away alive and were duly encouraged. Going on ahead by sea, we set sail for Assos, intending to pick Paul up there, for he had arranged this, intending to go overland. When he rejoined us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day we sailed from there and arrived opposite Chios. The second day we touched at Samos and made Miletus the day after that. Paul had decided to pass by Ephesus so as to avoid spending time in Asia, for he was anxious to be in Jerusalem, if possible, for the day of Pentecost. From Miletus he sent for the elders of the church of Ephesus. When they arrived, he addressed these words to them, "You know what my way of life has been among you since the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord in all humility, with all the tears and trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. I have not hesitated to do anything that would be helpful. I have proclaimed to you and instructed you, both in public and in your homes, testifying to both Jews and Greeks, conversion to God and belief in our Lord Jesus. And now, here I am on my way to Jerusalem, in captivity to the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit, in town after town, has attested to me that imprisonment and persecution await me. But I do not place any value on my own life, if only I may complete my course and the service which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the good news of God's grace. I now know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will ever see my face again. And so this day I swear that my conscience is clear as far as the blood of any of you is concerned, for I have not hesitated to put before you the whole of God's purpose. Be on your guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you guardians, to feed the church of God, which he brought with the blood of his own Son. I know that when I have gone, fierce wolves will invade you and will have no mercy on the flock. Even from your own ranks, there will be men coming forward, speaking a travesty of the truth, to induce the disciples to follow them. So be on your guard, remembering how night and day for 3 years I never ceased to counsel each one of you with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that has power to build you up and to give you your inheritance among all the sanctified. I never coveted anyone's money or clothes. You know for yourselves that these hands of mine have served my needs and those of my companions. In everything I have shown you that it is necessary to work in this way to support the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When he had finished speaking, he knelt down with them all and prayed. There was a good deal of weeping by all. They put their arms around Paul's neck and kissed him. They were especially saddened by his saying they would never see his face again. Then they escorted him to the ship.